This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, Anne M. Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time for Babysitter's Club.
Well, 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 here we are. You and I.
Hello.
Hello.
Such a treat to be spending my evening with you.
It's what I like. It's what I like.
It's what I like as well.
Yes.
It's a true treat.
Our boys are in bed.
One of my dearest friend, if not my dearest friend in the world. I assume the same is true for you of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I read a book today.
Read a book.
And I loved it.
I loved it too, and I'm pretty raring to dive into it. Do we have any housekeeping we need to take care of before we introduce the show, say who we are, say what we're doing? I already told you that before we started recording that my boy insisted on wearing his jorts to bed.
Yes,
tonight.
When I logged on to Zoom, you big dogged me for a second.
Yeah, I waited
that's
for
what
like
to do.
I waited for 5 seconds before I hit admit Zoom, into Zoom meeting.
Now that all Baby Nation, now that all of you plebs are on Zoom,
yeah,
Jack and I have been using Zoom for years.
Yeah, for
and
years
before it was cool.
Way
and
before
we're
it was
OG
cool.
Zoomers.
Yeah,
and it used to be very easy. Jack would just send me a Zoom link. I would open it. I would be right there in a chat with Jack.
Yeah, and then all of you got on.
And then all of you plebs got on, and now there's like hoops you have to jump through.
Yeah,
and Jack takes the opportunity
to show
big dog me every single time. He sends me a link, I click it, and I get put into a waiting room, and I just have to wait for Jack to like accept me into his inner chamber.
Yeah,
and it goes bing bong, and bing I always bong. Go big dog,
big dog.
Yeah.
But here we are. Would you like for me to introduce the show?
Yes, please.
Okay, here's what I like to do. Here's how I say it. I say, hi, hi.
Hi.
And welcome to the Babysitter's Club. Club.
Club.
I'm Jack Shepherd.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
And every week we like to talk about a different novel in the great Sitter's Cycle by...
Big Anne.
The Hand that Shakes.
Oh, sorry.
Big Anne. The Hand that Shakes. The Princess of the Prince of Towns, Saint Annabelle Matthews Martin, Stormborn, Soul Skinner, Mother of Clocks, and Bane to Bats. She is the first of her name, the last of her kind, and the last hope for humankind, otherwise known as Big Anne.
Your pause was so pregnant, I thought you were giving me a little runway to kind of...
throw something in there, I liked it.
Explore the space, just kind of feel myself.
It's pretty well trod ground.
The nicknames?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Epithets, I say. But
I probably could have come up with some new stuff.
Well, you said Big Anne. Big Anne's good. That's what we call her in the Little Sister Little episodes.
AMM.
It's Big Anne. She writes the Little Sister books, but the book that she wrote in 1999 that we're talking about today is Friends Forever, number one, Christie's Big News.
And the Man. How about that?
It's not doing anything for me.
Okay. I'll keep working on it.
Okay.
I think I can come up with a new epithet before we're done.
Perfect. Something is tugging at the corners of my memory that we may have tried that before.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll keep an eye out for it. I'd love to hear it. I'm open to suggestions.
I'll keep workshopping it.
Let's keep workshopping it. This one's called Christie's Big News. Yes.
Can they be thematic to the book each week?
Yeah, that's what I'm remembering. And we did it
on Francisco.
Super specials. And it got tiresome. Yeah, okay, that's good. Fine. San Francisco. Right, here's what I'll do for you. If you send it to me I'll just write it down.
That's for the best, because I was not going to follow through with anything you asked me to do.
No, exactly.
Because I go to San Francisco this week, so...
Okay.
San Francisco.
Okay, and that's the last one.
No, there will be a new one each week.
No, I don't want that. There's too many, and last time it became very tiresome.
They'll be really good, though, like
okay,
San
fine.
Francisco.
Okay, fine. I've sent it to myself, so I'll remember. So this one's called... Christie's Big News. And Tanner, Here's my question for you off the bat.
Yep.
What's Christie's big news? They never say. They never said, did they?
Did they ever say what her big news was? I don't think so.
No. So that's a weird choice.
Patrick had big news.
Patrick has big news. He's getting married.
Zoe had big
Zoe news. Zoe has huge news. She's getting married to Patrick. Christie. She doesn't reveal anything about herself.
I guess she took a trip to San Fran.
She got a dress.
Bought a new dress. That's kind of big for Christie.
Yeah. But I don't feel like she would frame that as being big news. She wasn't that, she's not that into it. So that's a weird one. That's something that we're going to have to keep track of because Christie has big news and Anne has chosen, in her infinite wisdom, Anne Francisco has chosen to keep it from us.
Yes. Carmen and Diego.
Let's just leave it.
We'll leave it. it's a tricky one. I guess that's kind of what the Friends Forever. What was last one called?
Everything. It was a super special, and it was called Everything Changes.
It was like based on the Keen song, right? So I guess that's kind of the thing with these books. They're a little the titles are.
There's
like
just something abstract.
Abstract.
Yeah. And have you noticed the covers of these fucking books?
Yeah, they suck.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Maybe this will become a segment, but I was thinking about it being a segment, but then I was like, they're so ashamed of the covers of these books that they don't even acknowledge like who took the photo or like who designed it or anything.
It's a very, God bless whoever designed
Hodges it. Hodges was like, I'll do this, but I don't want my fucking name on it.
If you're the person who designed these covers, I'm not here to tear you down.
No, we're not.
God bless you. I'm sure you got a good paycheck out of it.
Yeah.
But it's very bad, and it's like.
And who is this person in it?
Shitty late '90s design. It's got this new logo, where it's like these swirly letters that say BSC with a little like yin yang flower in it.
No, yeah, and it's got a real girl in it.
And then it's got a real girl in it who is supposed to be Christie, I guess, but like it's not any fucking Christie I've ever
But she's not even
before.
Doing anything that interesting, right? She's like making a sneering face.
She's looking sort of like, yeah. And she's got like some wedding flowers in her hand.
No.
No.
Where's Hodges?
They're bad. Bring back Hodges.
Bring back Hodges.
Bring back my paintings.
Yeah.
My beautiful paintings.
What we like to do traditionally is we love to describe the book so much that we do it twice.
Okay. Is that wise?
It's always worked for us in the past, for the most part.
Okay.
And what I think, the way that I think we like to do it is I think that I like to describe the book and then kind of have you come in and play cleanup hitter.
Just kind of finish
up. I'll put a few men on base.
And I'll come.
You'll
Grand
come bring
slam,
them home.
Home
bring
run.
Them home. Yeah.
Yeah. Out of the park, home run.
Yeah. And we'll do it with the help of the big bad clock that I have handy. But first, shall I describe the novel? Oh, and you
I'll
mute
do
yourself,
that
don't
thing.
You?
I'll do that thing where I hit the ball and it hits that one ad in like the upper decks where it's like, hit this ad for free like windshield repair.
That's
and everyone
cool.
in the stadium gets a free windshield repair. You know what I mean?
That's awesome. That's awesome. You're gonna
and I clear the bases. And
a lot of people
are
very
points.
Happy. Hell yes.
Yeah. And we're down by three, and it's the bottom of the ninth, so.
Okay, wow. And I didn't help much, did I, with my description in this scenario?
No. We're down by three.
Okay.
You loaded the bases.
Okay, good. Okay, thank you for bringing me along.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let me load those bases. And the way we do it in the modern era is you mute yourself, so I'm not distracted in any way by
load
you.
Load my bases, Daddy.
Okay, that's a weird thing to say.
Now I'm muted.
Okay, and he's gone silent, mercifully. What I'm going to do is describe the book, then we're going to put 60 seconds on a big bad clock that I happen to have handy, and we'll have Tanner describe the book. But first, I will
Why
begin.
Why do
I
mute
begin.
Now? Can you remind me?
Now.
Oh, you can't hear me.
Patrick Thomas is many things. He loves sports, he loves to cook, and he loves to joke around. Oh. But the thing that makes Patrick's... But the thing that makes Patrick Thomas special, the thing that sets him apart, is that he never really grew up. He's a wide-eyed, fun-loving little boy in a man's body. Patrick Thomas is Peter Pan, always looking to the horizon for the next adventure. Which is a problem, because Patrick Thomas has three kids and an ex-wife he abandoned because he wanted to go to baseball games instead of changing diapers. Patrick Thomas is many things, but the main thing he is a fucking asshole. And now, he's getting married again. Babysitter's Club, Friends Forever, number one, Christy, big news.
Great.
Nailed it.
Why do I mute myself?
You insisted on doing it last time.
Okay.
It's something that we do in the Little Sister Little episodes. I think I insisted on it because you kept talking during my songs.
Yes.
And I love that you did it last time now, because I think traditionally you like to talk during my descriptions.
Yes, and I
which
did
is
actually,
also distracting.
I did talk over your description just now.
Well, I can't know what you said.
Like,
so
you did like a flub.
Okay. Yeah.
And I drew attention to it and okay. Sort of made it a moment.
Great. Well, so what I'm gonna say now is that got cut out. As the person who edits the episodes.
No, I think now that we've spent so much time, now we've meditated on it so much, I think it has to stay in.
I think it got cut out.
Well, if it got cut out, at least keep this in.
Okay, because so people know. Yeah.
Baby Nation, Jack fucked up.
Okay.
He had a verbal miscue.
Great.
And it was embarrassing.
Maybe it's in the outro.
Yeah.
You describe it.
Oh, okay.
Sir. You say what happened. It's a big moment in Christie's life, this novel.
And Sam and Charlie and David Michaels.
Yeah, especially David
and Patrick
Michael.
And Zoe's.
Yeah. And probably Elizabeth, honestly.
And all those catty aunts.
Hell yeah, there are a lot of catty aunts in this one. Nola had a lot of fun with this one.
Nola did have a lot of...
What's happening? What the fuck is happening? You okay? Should I call the cops? I'm calling the cops.
I'm feeling very sick.
Okay. I'm going to call the cops.
And the world is spinning.
Okay.
The room is spinning, and I feel like I'm going to throw up.
Okay.
My chest is getting so tight.
All right. I'm going to look on WebMD. I'm looking on WebMD.
Tight chest.
Right now.
Tight chest. Extreme nausea. Spins.
Spins. Okay. Hang on. Tight chest.
Okay, new symptom.
Okay.
Definitely becoming erect.
Okay. Okay, hang on. God damn it. Wow, WebMD really wants a lot. Age, what, like 37?
36.
Okay. Gender, male. Continue. What is your main symptom? Tight chest.
At this point, it's becoming the erection.
Erection, okay. Erection. Achy erection or painful erection? Or can't get an erection? Erection that won't go down or soften. Achy erection? I'm going to say achy erection.
It's becoming achy.
Okay. Okay. What's... Give me another one.
Tight chest.
Tight chest. Okay.
Lightheaded.
Lightheaded.
Nausea.
And nausea. Okay. Do you have any of the following common symptoms? Bloating, cough, diarrhea, dizziness, fatigue, fever, headache,
diarrhea.
Okay. Is it watery, bloody, sudden onset?
All of the above.
More than 4 weeks?
All of the above.
At night. Okay. And at night. Yeah, I guess it is at night. Okay. So I'm going to put all of the above. Okay. So results, strength are strong. I think they know what you have.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, it's getting worse.
Wait, which symptom is bothering you the most? I'm going to skip it because it's all
the erection.
Bad, right? Okay. Okay. You have...
What is it, Doc?
You have ulcerative colitis?
That gives you an erection?
Yeah, it doesn't
I don't
say.
Think it's that.
Okay.
Is there anything else listed there?
Priapism.
Okay,
priapism. It's an often painful erection that lasts for more than 4 hours that is not caused by sexual stimulation.
I don't think I have that. Is there anything else in there, Doc?
Giardiais. Is there something called a Thack attack?
Oh, I think that might be it. I think it's the big one.
Oh, God.
I think I'm having a Thack attack.
Okay. It'll pass.
Oh, my erection's already softening. Oh, I think it's passing. Oh.
Can I sing in celebration?
Please, I need about 10 seconds to just fully get over all these symptoms, and if you can fill that time with like a song.
Few times I've been around that track with my good friend Tanner and my good friend Jack, cause I ain't no Nola Thacker. I ain't no Nola Thacker. And you're having a Thack attack.
I'm feeling much better. I still do have a bit of an erection, but I think it will go down.
It will pass. Yeah. I hit a Nolan one this week.
Okay.
And what else do we say? We were both receiving a visit from the Father, the Son, and the Noli Spirit, aren't we, this week?
Yep, and we're playing Counter-Strike.
Okay.
And I'm the terrorist planting the bomb, and you are the counter-terrorist trying to stop me, and it is a no-land party.
Okay. This is a real stretch, but I have to allow it. Nola Thacker wrote this one, didn't she?
She did. Yep.
She did a good job.
She did a good job.
While we're talking about it, did you have a Nola moment?
Not captured.
Here, I'll read my Nola moment real fast.
Okay.
Karen and Andrew were setting the table. Karen was talking to Andrew about the secret life of dogs, explaining that dogs and cats and all animals talked all the time when humans weren't listening. Andrew is watching Shannon out of the corner of his eye. Shannon, who didn't seem to have... What?
That's IP Freely!
Okay.
In like 2017, there was a movie called The Secret Life of Pets, so you change one name. Congratulations.
Can we at least do the stinger?
Fucking DreamWorks.
IP Freely. Okay, and it's it's copyright infringement.
They changed the name. They changed one word. They changed
the Secret Life of Dogs
to The Secret Life of Pets, and it's about pets talking when humans aren't paying attention. The DreamWorks stole that from
they
Nola.
They took it from Nola. Yeah. I bet they fucking did, too. Who's the world expert on this stuff? It's Nola. Andrew is watching Shannon out of the corner of his eye. Shannon, who didn't seem to have anything to say for herself. What's happening?
Sounds like thunder cracking.
Okay, yeah. And
we're all tiny ants in an infinite abyss. And we're all scared and we're all feared. Feared, okay. And we're all trembling because it's a hit segment.
Okay, from our Patreon.
From the Patreon show.
That's called
Fear and Trembling with Andrew Brewer.
Well, I really hit on a goldmine passage for you, huh?
Yeah.
So this is a segment from our Patreon show where we talk about the Little Sister books, in which Andrew features a lot. And it's Andrew has this kind of wide-eyed way of looking at the world.
Kind of a naive gullibility.
Mm-hmm.
And Karen's constantly sort of playing into that, which is what we have here. Karen tells him that dogs are talking when they're not listening. And
oh, right. And he's just like, I can't,
is
like,
watching
Shannon,
out of the corner of his
with
eye.
With new eyes. Yeah. we're in a segment within a segment within a segment, aren't
we? Yeah, it's Oops All Segments.
We're in a Nola moment that is also IP Freely and Fear and Trembling with Andrew Thomas Brewer.
Yep.
Okay, that's a lot. Is there any way that I could possibly finish the passage?
You can try.
Okay.
We'll see if anything else triggers here.
Andrew was watching Shannon out of the corner of his eye. Shannon, who didn't seem to have anything to say for herself at the moment, was lying on her pillow in a corner of the kitchen, chomping on a Nyla bone. And my Nola moment is...
She named the bone after herself.
Is that what it is? I was going to say, like, Nola, nobody knows what your, like, dumb dog shit is. Like, I don't know what that is. Like, I don't know dog stuff.
Right.
But what you're saying is nobody knows dog stuff. She's just taking the opportunity since she's holding the fucking reins here.
Some synergy.
To suggest that we call...
We call dog treats Nyla.
And Nyla is what they call Nola in Australia.
Nyla.
Nyla Thacker.
Nyla Thacker.
It's a Nyla bone.
What a rich vein you've tapped into here. Wow.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. I thought we were just going to kind of zoom past it.
We can probably do 10 minutes just on this one paragraph here.
It's pretty impressive because it's really has nothing to do with anything in the book.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, what if you describe it? Say what happened.
Oh, Jesus. You sure?
Yes, because I didn't. I kind of got it. I got it out. I got some of the stuff out in my description.
You did have that flub, though.
Definitely cut it out. Definitely.
Okay. We're gonna
Which is what professionals
it,
do.
So we're going to keep mentioning it, though, and coming and meditating on it, though. So
why would we?
I don't know. You're the one who did it. Like
I cut it out.
Well, why do we keep talking about it then?
You bring it up.
Now there's no context for it.
Okay, well, I'm going to put 60 seconds on this big bad clock. During those 60 seconds, you're going to have to describe everything that happened in this book. And because I'm angry with you, I'm not going to give you any lead up time. Start now.
Okay, so Christy and everyone are eating gnocchi together. And they get a call. They just really focus
They really
on
hit
gnocchi.
The gnocchi really hard. Yeah, carry on.
They get a call, and it turns out that it's Patrick Thomas saying that he's getting married and he wants Sam and Christy and Charlie and not David Michael to fly to Sausalito, California to be in the wedding or to come to the wedding. They have some back and forth. Charlie really doesn't want to. Charlie's very angry at Patrick. Sam is into it. Christy's kind of on the fence. They eventually decide to go, that Sam and Christy have to kind of campaign Charlie to get him to go. They go. Patrick's a new man. He's not a sports writer anymore. He's a chef at his fiance's restaurant called The Greenhouse in Sausalito, which is just north of San Francisco. He asks Charlie and Sam to be his best men. Charlie says no. Charlie almost wants to leave but doesn't. They do the wedding and it's
good. Time. I give you an extra 10 seconds because we really hit that gnocchi pretty hard.
The gnocchi. Well, so did Nola.
So did Nola. Nola, like, I don't know whether she just discovered it or something, but like the first couple chapters of this book are like, and then Watson was like, well, you like the best way to make gnocchi is like you put eggs in the potatoes.
Watson's like, we're making gnocchi. And Karen's like, what's gnocchi?
Yeah.
And then it's like chapter two. Yeah. Watson sat Karen down and explained what gnocchi is. You see, Karen, it's potatoes.
Yeah. And then like later, like I allowed them that. I was like, all right, I guess it's probably true that some, like a lot of American families would be surprised at what gnocchi is. It's like not that common of a dish. But then later, Patrick makes them pasta primavera. Yeah. And Christy's like, man, it's just like being back home, sitting at dinner, eating some like wild exotic dish that I've never heard of.
What is this? It's like, what are these, vegetables?
Yeah.
Patrick's like, yeah, it's pasta with vegetables. Yeah, she's like, and what is this?
It's like pasta primavera.
Pasta? And he's like, yeah, it's pasta with vegetables.
I'm starting to remember why I left the family. Patrick's an asshole.
He is an asshole. He left Christy and Sam and Thomas when they were children. Obviously, we all know that.
Yeah.
He tries to get them back into his life. He is a changed man. He's like settled down. But he's also like a fucking whiny brat baby B-word.
Yes, that's true.
And like Charlie keeps like lashing out, which is fine. But then instead of being understanding and sympathetic and apologetic,
yeah,
Patrick like retaliates in kind. Like Charlie would be like, you weren't there for us and you didn't even invite David Michael. And Patrick will be like, I don't like your tone. And it's like, shut up, idiot.
May I read a passage?
Please.
And the reason I want to do so is because Charlie this week is my
Baller of the week. Yeah,
that's fun. Got a segment for it. It's a baseball book.
Yeah.
Yep. Patrick had regained a grip on his temper. He said, "Hey, do your old man a favor, will you? I promise I won't ask you to do it again." He has asked Charlie to be his best man.
Yep.
Charlie said, "No." "No," said Charlie. I saw Patrick's eyes narrow, but I also saw the hurt look that crossed his face. Charlie, he said in a softer, almost pleading voice. Charlie said, what right do you have to ask me to be your
Charlie.
Best man?
Charlie!
Oh, you think he's doing, that's what he's doing? It's really inappropriate.
Oh!
Oh, Charlie!
Charlie bit my finger!
Charlie!
And it's actually a segment within a segment, Oops All Segments, and it's meme of the week.
Meme of the week.
I like turtles.
And it's like the biggest video in the history of YouTube. Actually, probably now it's like some fucking like alt-right.
It's a meme only the alt-right. They like took it from us.
Charlie bit my finger, and it is inappropriate. You're right. It's inappropriate for Patrick to do a Charlie bit my finger bit in this particular moment.
Right in this moment, yeah.
Charlie said, "What right do you have to ask me to be your best man? You left when I was 10, in case you've forgotten. I don't know you. You don't know me. Asking me to be your best man isn't going to make us good buddies. And it's not going to make you into the father you've never been to me. Or to Sam or David Michael, in case you've forgotten him." "That's enough," Patrick said, no trace of pleading or sadness in his voice now. "Your behavior is way out of line." "No, it's not," said Charlie. "You're the one who behaved badly. But of course, that probably slipped your mind." He dropped his napkin by his plate and stomped down the hall to the bedroom. Fucking badass. Fucking yeah. Badass. And Patrick deserves it. Everyone else is a weirdo this week. Like, I think Nola wants us to think that Charlie's acting out, but right. He's been acting totally fucking appropriately. He's like, what the fuck? I haven't heard from you in fucking 7 years, and then you want me to be your best man, and there's no, like, discussion? Fuck you.
It's easy to see Charlie's age because he's like 16 and like acting like a 16-year-old. Like, he's essentially acting like an adult, you know?
Yeah.
He's got the emotional intelligence of an adult.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you sometimes forget, like, every now and then in a Sam moment, it would be like, Sam is trying so hard to please Patrick and, like,
it's very relatable.
Build a bridge.
Yeah.
And every time there was, like, a Sam moment where he was, like, trying to build a bridge and please Patrick, I always, like, forgot that Sam isn't, like, 6.
Yeah. Sam is, I think, 14.
Yeah. I think he's like 15.
I related to Sam in the sense that he's, like, he also is super uncomfortable and doesn't, and is mad at Patrick, but his desire to not have any kind of confrontation totally trumps any other feelings that he has. And so he's like constantly trying to like make jokes to fucking smooth it over. Patrick Tanner is marrying a woman.
Yes.
I would like to briefly, she's nice. Christy really likes her. "The woman stepped forward and smiled at us. 'I've been looking forward to meeting you,' she said. 'I've heard so much about you.' I sensed rather than saw Charlie open his mouth, ready to take another shot at Patrick, but he didn't get a chance. Beaming, my father put his arm around the woman. He said proudly, 'Sam, Charlie, Christy, this is Zoe Amberson. She's about to become my new wife.'"
Okay.
Zoe Amberson.
You want to wallow in it.
Zoe Amberson.
You want to explore the space.
You want me to fucking spell it out for you?
Zoe Amberson.
Zoe, as you know, is the Greek word that means life, and that's what Zoe comes from.
Okay.
And more to the point, up until these books, up until everything changed last week,
yeah,
these girls, Tanner, were trapped, were they not, in Amber for their whole lives.
They were trapped in Amber. It's unclear whether or not they still are.
It seems like they're escaping. It seems like that's what happens. When everything changes, the Amber starts to soften. The Babysitter's Club is dissolved. These girls are growing up. It's over. And now we see the manifestation of that over here in California.
You knew who said it best?
Who said it best? Heraclitus. I was going to say Heraclitus.
Everything changes, but I still feel the same.
Well, you know what Heraclitus said?
That?
Pantare. Yes, exactly. Everything everything flows. But yeah, you can't step in the same river twice. It's basically, and I'm realizing that's IP Freely, and he took that from Keane, didn't he?
But I
We were going after the same concept.
Right.
And Keane says everybody changes.
Not everybody changes. Everything changes. I still feel the same.
That Keane says everybody changes, for what it's worth. If there are any like Keane heads amongst the listeners who remain to us. But let's not dwell on that.
Yeah.
They should have said everything changes. And it's more to the point, isn't
and
it?
And that would be better.
Yes.
Then they would be saying the same thing as Heraclitus.
But so your evidence, I've presented some fairly strong evidence that what Anna's doing is she's allowing the Amber to relax and she's allowing these girls to grow and change. As the title signals and as the presence of this mysterious person who's called Life Amber, Zoe Amberson, or Son of Amber.
Son of Amber, yeah.
Who so suddenly...
It's like a generation after the Amber.
Right. Exactly. And she's babysitting in a way, isn't she? Because Patrick...
Is she?
Is a someone who should be a sitter, but is in fact a sat. He's a man, or what we call a man boy, a man child.
Man boy, yes.
So there's a lot in there, isn't it? He's Peter Pan. They describe him as Peter Pan.
Yep.
Claudia describes him as being Peter Pan. He never grows up. He never grows old. And he lives in Never Neverland, said Stacy. And it's like, no, Stacy, it's a metaphor. He doesn't. Yeah. He lives in fucking Sausalito.
Stacy hates allegory like Tolkien.
Yeah. But that's interesting. I thought that was interesting. Amber.
Sausalito is a little like a Neverland.
Is it? I've never been.
I've never been either. Okay. Sounds nice.
Yeah, it does sound nice. Patrick runs like this.
It sounds
like
a, it's kind of like a Italian seaside village a little bit, doesn't it?
I don't want to speculate about it because I'm sure there are like plenty of people who know what Sausalito is.
Sausalito's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just sounds so magical.
It does sound magical. And it sounds like, I don't want to take Patrick's side, but it sounds like he's the chef at like a pretty dope like California style
nice
restaurant.
Little like, yeah.
Yeah.
Vegetarian or like veg forward at least.
Yeah, veg forward.
Restaurant. Local, sort of locavore. Sounds nice.
It sounds nice. And Zoe's in charge of it. She's the boss.
I think Christy relates to her.
Christy relates to Zoe. And they have, at the end of the book, a fairly powerful conversation. Because Zoe reveals that she's going to have, they're thinking about having kids. And Christy, like, it's the day before their wedding and they're sleeping in the same bedroom. And Christy's like, Zoe, I feel like I need to tell you that, like, Patrick fucking abandoned us and left his whole family, which is pretty baller. And Zoe's like, yeah, I know. I made him fucking tell me.
He abandoned them.
No, I'm saying it's baller that Christy brought.
Oh, yes.
Thought to bring that
up.
Well,
it almost turned into a moment because Zoe reveals to Christy when they're out shopping that she wants to have kids with Patrick. And that infuriates Christy, and Christy kind of joins the Charlie camp.
Right.
And then Christy tells Charlie, and he's infuriated as well, and they just want to leave. They don't want it to be in the wedding now.
Yeah.
And this is like a day before the wedding. So Christy kind of had to have this come to
She had to have the talk, but it's like if, like, the assumption that she's making is that Zoe doesn't know this. And if that were to be true, it's a hell of a thing to reveal to someone the night before their wedding.
Right.
But she does know. She's like, yeah, I fucking know. I get it. Yeah. She's cool. She's cool as hell.
She is cool. She also wants that the kids come visit Patrick and her more often.
Yeah, I hope they don't. I don't think Patrick deserves it.
I hope they don't either, and I hope Patrick has fun with his new family, even though it sucks.
Tanner, do you think, and this is a loaded question, that this novel is in some ways what we call a squeakquel?
Did you say this?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. And if I did, it would be okay. But I didn't. I definitely didn't. So you're not even dwelling on a verbal miscue at this point. You're like inventing one.
I thought I heard you say this.
Okay, fine. Well, if I did, I'll cut it out.
Do you want to say this really quickly just to kind of this. Isolate it? Okay.
Do you think, I was saying something interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think that this novel is in some ways a squeakquel to the novel Christy's Great Idea?
Christy's Big News, Christy's Great Idea.
And a squeakquel for new listeners it's like a follow-on book that
you
has
know
particular
when they make
resonance.
One Alvin and the Chipmunks movie. And then another one.
That's the classic example.
Right. I'm just sort of going back to kind of the prime.
That's the classic example.
Yeah.
But in these books, famously,
when you make another Alvin and the Chipmunks movie, you call it a squeakquel, and then when you make another of anything,
yeah,
it sort of is.
It has particular resonance
term of art, yeah.
And famously, in this series, there's a squeakquel to Christie's Great Idea called Christie's Worst Idea, which introduces a dark timeline and creates the necessity for the Hatchet reading order, which I will refer you back to the archives.
I think if anything,
in order to unpack,
this book is a squeakquel to Christie's Big Day.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay.
Wouldn't you say?
Which is, what's Christie's big day?
Christie's big day is the one where Watson and Mom get married.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Christie's big day. It is a book, and it is about a wedding. It's a sixth book. Okay, so that's interesting. So here's why I thought... So I thought it was a squeakquel to Great Idea for... Because it's the first book of a new thing, and because she brings up...
But we already know that Christie's big idea already has a squeakquel.
No, you're right. You're right. Or, well, I think there could be many, but I think... I'm beginning to think you're right. The reason that I thought it was a squeakquel, and now that word is starting to sound funny to me, but is that she brings up... That like the memory of Mom and Watson's wedding, which is sort of presaged in Christie's Great Idea because Mom announces that she's marrying Watson. But your point is a better one. Mom and Watson's wedding happens in number six, Christie's Big Day.
Yep.
So why is it that Anne and Nola are trying to tie these particular books together?
I think they're saying two things. I think what you said before is correct. It's a analog. Like, Christie's Great Idea was the path of the light, the bright timeline starring
Will Smith and Joel Edgerton. Yeah,
and then Christie's Worst Idea was the darkest timeline.
Yeah.
And I think that is the same here. Christie's Big Day is the bright timeline.
It's the bright timeline starring Will Smith and Joel Edgerton. And
then this is
Christie's
the
Big
timeline.
News. Okay. So we're going to have
also, I think the other thing they're establishing is that we are on the darkest timeline. We're on like an accelerated timeline here.
Okay.
We only have 12 or 13 books to recapture this canon.
It's so interesting that it's called Friends Forever and yet it is so short.
It starts like the original timeline. It started with the formation of the Babysitter's Club.
I mean,
six
it's this
books in, there was a wedding. This one starts with the disbandment of the Babysitter's Club.
But think about that inversion, and that's what the darkest timeline is asking us to do. The inversion is incredible. If I'm right and the amber has started to soften and these girls have been freed into the time stream, it's a almost cruel irony to say that it's Friends Forever when in fact previously they had been forever. And now they are But dust in the wind.
Sands in the hourglass.
Sands in the hourglass, and it's rapidly running out. What is? Why would is Anna's doing that because she's angry with us? Is it sarcasm?
I don't know if this is in Anne's control anymore.
Yeah,
I think if it were up to Anne, she'd still be writing these fucking things and cashing that fucking paycheck each week.
Yeah,
you know,
if it were up to Anne, she'd fucking sign a big deal with Netflix and have it fucking move to the big screen. You know,
but like the Living Tribunal.
Yeah.
Like, cast its gaze
upon foot down. Yeah.
And it was like, you've been tempering with the time stream for too long.
You almost destroyed everything. Yeah.
Look what you did.
And so your forever is gone. And now...
Not only is your forever gone, but I'm giving you 12 books to wrap this fucking thing up.
Yeah.
So do what you gotta do.
Wow, and 12 is a resonant number too, isn't it? 12 disciples. It's a powerful number.
12 months.
12 months. That's big.
It's like they said, you get 1 year.
That's something to think about. So each book is a month of the year.
Yeah.
And one of the disciples. Would you like to take a break, Tanner?
Gosh, I just feel like I need to decompress a little bit.
Yeah, that was a lot.
It's been a big night.
It's been a big night already. It's been a big news, hasn't it?
It's been a big news.
Should we take a quick break and then come back and talk some more about this book? Okay, you say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, you did it. Ha. Hi all, it's Jack here, and I am super excited to tell you about a new sponsor, the incredible family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. Unfortunately, Tanner is not able to be here for this ad read because he misread the brief, and I'm glad that he's reading the briefs at least, but he thought that he was being assigned on an actual secret mission to find out who really killed June's sister, Claire. Now, I've been enjoying immersing myself in a bygone age of mystery, danger, and romance, and putting my detective skills to the test as I solve hundreds of puzzles whenever I have a free moment to play June's Journey. But Tanner has actually, and this is a quote, booked myself passage on a steamship to New York, which, not to triangulate here, but that's a uniquely bad way to get there from Connecticut. And reading between the lines of the extremely cryptic letters he's been sending me, it sounds like he's making a real nuisance of himself, asking the other passengers questions about their luggage. June's Journey is a murder mystery game set in the Roaring Twenties about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner's Journey, according to the most recent note I got from him, is currently delayed due to what he describes as a miscommunication with the Coast Guard about what exactly a steamship license is. I hate to take sides, but I really feel like I would trust the Coast Guard on this one. Right now, I'm making my way through the adventure of the Hidden Distillery. I love looking for clues and customizing my estate while I'm on hold with some very angry people at a place I've never heard of called the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority. And you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey, and you can download it for free on iOS and Android. Okay, it looks like I'm going to have to go and pick him up.
Okay, Jack, I need. Can you go back to WebMD? Because there's a new symptom.
Okay, Jesus. Okay.
It's all the same symptoms as before.
Okay, and now you want me to add one?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to go back.
I noticed as I was going to the bathroom.
Okay.
Check you still your have symptoms. It open?
Yeah, I still have it open. Age still 36, right?
36.
Male, achy erection. Diarrhea.
Yep. Actually, the nausea and lightheadedness have gone away.
Okay, so we'll just say
it's just
erection.
The achy erection
and
diarrhea,
every
and
kind of
new,
diarrhea
and the new symptom stigmata.
Stigmata. Okay. Huh, it says no result. Shall I say holes in hand?
Holes in hands and feet. Bleeding holes in hands and feet.
Holes in hand. No feeling in hand. Pain in palm of hand.
Sure.
I'll add pain in palm of hand, and I'm going to say bleeding hands.
Bleeding hands and bleeding feet.
Anal
it
bleeding.
Doesn't have stigmata?
No, weirdly, no. I think stigmata would be the diagnosis. Beefy hands?
Yeah.
I'm going to say beefy hands.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to say bleeding feet.
Or beefy feet, if they have that.
Something called rocker bottom feet. Localized rash on feet is the best I can...
That sounds right. Do they have beefy feet?
I'm going to put it in. Beefy feet. Flat feet, big feet. Big feet.
You do have big feet.
Okay, and then I just want to say holes in feet. Let's see if what comes up for that. Skin easily broken on feet. That sounds right, yeah?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so which symptom is bothering you the most?
The stigmata at this point.
Should I say beefy hands?
I think the beefy hands.
Okay. Celiac disease.
Oh, God.
Sorry,
I've
dude.
Been tested for that before.
Yeah, it sounds shitty.
I don't
shitty.
Have it.
It sounds. Yeah. Oh, you don't have it?
No. Nope. Well, I was having some digestive issues, and the doctor thought I might be.
I mean, there's this thing that says, like,
intolerant.
If you're like, this I don't think applies to you, but it's like if you're particularly Christ-like and like you take on the wounds of
so
Jesus
far
and,
it applies to me.
Well, I don't think
it's
that's
in
it.
My generosity is Christ-like.
I think it's celiac, dude. Get it checked out. Stop eating bread.
Celery.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that, dude. Can we talk about the book?
Yeah. Yep. I think we should.
I just wanted to, before we move on from what we were talking about before the break.
The stigmata?
No, we did. We moved on to that. And does Constantine have it?
Stigmata? The woman from the movie Stigmata has it.
Okay, I was thinking Constantine. But I'm going to be getting, like, I'm going to get a fucking email from WebMD, like, hey, we need you to check into an emergency.
We've actually dispatched a doctor to your home.
We normally don't do this, but we're very worried about you and your beefy fucking hands.
We've gone off the web.
12. Tanner, the one thing we fucking forgot. 12 months, 12 disciples, 12 angry men.
Oh, it's a jury.
The Anne is Anne, or the tribunal is asking us to sit in judgment of Anne book by book. Each book is a member of the jury. And that's our solemn fucking duty. Right? That's what it is.
12 angry Anne's.
12 angry Anne's? No, Anne's the... No. No, you've misunderstood it. It's 24 beefy hands. It's one angry Anne. She's sitting in the dock.
She has 24 beefy hands.
Maybe that's the new epithet. No, you've misunderstood. You and I, metaphorically, are the 24 beefy hands that are going to sit in judgment over the angry Anne who's in the dock for her crimes.
Right.
And each book is you know, one of the jurors stands up and you know, guilty or not guilty. And yeah, let's not get hung up on that.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's something powerful.
Breakneck. Yeah.
Powerful. Okay. Do you want to talk about the people sharks?
People sharks. I would like to hear more about it because I do remember there being sharks.
They do like a day trip before the wedding. I do not understand how these fucking motherfuckers, 3 days before their goddamn wedding, have any time for anything. But they seem pretty
morning of
chill
my
about
wedding, it. Here's what I did.
What?
Ordered tacos from... Please bleep that.
Okay. I'll bleep it. It's triangulating.
It's the same place we bleeped last week.
Wow. They're like they're really suffering from lack of advertising for them on this podcast. Except last week you said that it gave you like terrible diarrhea, I think.
It did, yeah.
Yeah.
An erection. Yeah.
Yeah.
Eight tacos from my favorite taqueria.
Yeah.
With my beloved cat, Bull.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Got dressed, invited some photographers into our house so they could...
Wait, what? Bull was part of the ordering of the tacos? Or he was just there?
There's just a very sweet photo of me in my wedding suit.
Okay, it's a photo.
Eating a taco with Bull kind of looking on.
Yeah, I think I've seen it.
Kindly.
Yeah.
Then these people came into my house and insisted on taking photos of me in various states of undress.
That sucks.
Which made me pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then they insisted that we take the subway to the venue in our gear, in our wedding gear.
Yeah.
So that they could photograph us on the subway, which made me wildly uncomfortable.
Are you describing my wedding?
No, mine.
Because that did happen to me as well.
Well, I got married first, so you copied me.
Okay. Well, we have really lovely photos of us on the subway, and everyone clapped for us, so fuck you. And I wasn't uncomfortable.
We have semi-lovely photos. If you couldn't, they would be lovely if you couldn't obviously read the terrible discomfort on my face.
We came very close to biking to our wedding venue from the house.
That would have been fun.
It would have been very cool. Anyway.
I get it. It's a relaxed time.
Okay, it's relaxed. Okay, that's what you're saying. You understand why they took a trip. This is 2 days before their wedding. I did not have time to fucking take a trip to an island. I was very stressed out and was dealing with shit. You know what I was doing? I was calling every fucking motherfucker in New York who might have a convection oven to see if they had a convection oven. That's what I was doing.
I was drinking margs with my family who were in to celebrate me.
Well, I did it wrong. Anyway, they went to an island. Let me read you this passage. So we ended up on Angel Island. That sounds nice. Zoe had...
Named after the...
The guy from Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yeah, the WB series.
Yep. Okay. Zoe hadn't been kidding. The picnic had been first class, and the weather was perfect. We watched birds through binoculars. Sam swore he saw a shark's fin far out on the water. And then Patrick entertained us with stories of people shark encounters in California.
Encounters. Okay. So, someone is grafting people and shark bits together into people sharks, or someone is out there fucking sharks.
Or both.
Are sharks fish?
Yeah. big old toothy fish.
Someone is diving.
Yeah.
Into the water.
Do we have any shark scientists who listen? Because I'm now worried
are
that
there
I
any
said
shark
they're
scientists?
Fish and I think
tell
they
me,
might not
I'm going to
be...
run a scenario by you, shark yeah. scientists, and you tell me whether or not this can happen.
Yeah.
I know, here's what I know about fish.
Yeah.
The girl fish come and they shoot eggs out of their into the
I'll bleep
silt.
That. I'm going to bleep that. Just
most of it.
Yeah.
Into the silt and the eggs sit there and then boy fish come along and they shoot out of
okay,
their
and I'm bleeping
bowl.
A lot of that. Yep. A lot of that got bleeped, but I think people will get the gist.
And it turns into baby fish. And what I'm wondering is if I were inclined, as me, a human man,
mm-hmm.
could I go diving,
yeah.
find a shark egg cache
yeah.
in the silt,
fertilize it
with okay. my human...
And I bleeped your thing and tried to preempt it by saying a nice version of it, but yeah.
And make shark people.
I mean, I'm not a shark scientist, and that's why I'm only reason I'm hesitant to say yes, but I think yes. And I think that's what Patrick's describing here.
And then a follow-up question for the shark people.
Yeah.
What do shark eggs look like? And if I were diving and I was looking for them?
Yeah.
What am I looking for?
And how would you find it?
And how would you find it? And where do yeah. they lay eggs?
Yeah, and how do you make a shark person?
Yeah.
That's interesting, and it's interesting that they've introduced these shark people into
it's
this
interesting.
Series.
Okay. And it's a new faction.
It's a new faction. Okay, that's interesting. I was hoping you might say that because I have some thoughts about factions.
Well, it's interesting specifically you say the shark people have
yeah.
sort of they're in the waters outside of Sausalito.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe vying for a power grab in Sausalito because we know who controls Sausalito. Let me read you a passage.
Okay.
You wouldn't believe the tuxedos out here, said Sam. They make the ones I've seen back home look totally lame. So what did you pick out, I asked. We looked in about a million places, said Sam. And then we went to Tuxedo Cat and found the perfect tuxedos for all three of us. The Tuxedo Cat is cool. This actual cat lives in the store, and he's black with white markings, so he looks like he's wearing a tuxedo. And his name is Tuxedo. So the tuxedo shop is run by a cat person.
Okay, and they've traveled from Louisville,
and
obviously.
And they've taken Sausalito.
And they've taken Sausalito, which is a long way.
And they've got their fucking pikes at the ready at the waterfront.
Okay, but shark people.
To fend off the shark people who are going to try to come and seize power.
This is great. I love this
Sausalito.
Stuff. I got to say, I love that Anne is doing this. And, you know, I'm supposed to be standing here in judgment of her, and I may have to recuse myself because I love that she's doing this stuff. I know this is the sort of thing that got her in trouble in the first place. It's why yeah. she's why we're judging her.
Who was the Roman emperor who had everyone line up on the beach and, like, throw their spears into the water to fight Neptune?
Is it Tiberius? Or is it Caligula?
I don't know.
One of the fucking... I'm trying to just name the fucking crazy ones. There's Caligula, Nero. Tiberius was pretty insane. He was the one who had a fuck island.
Okay, reddit.com/todayilearned. Today I learned Roman Emperor Caligula once declared
Caligula.
War on Neptune, the god of the seas. His men ran into the ocean and stabbed the water. Caligula then declared victory and commanded his men to collect seashells as war trophies.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, while we're talking about factions, let me read you this passage, Tanner.
Yeah.
So that's how it went, I concluded. This is when Chrissy's back in Stony Brook. Mom and I were sitting in Adirondack chairs in the shady backyard, drinking lemonade, talking a little, being quiet a little. We had the whole place to ourselves. Charlie and Sam had taken Emily, Michelle, David, Michael, and Andrew to the park. Karen was with her two best friends at a pool party. Nanny and Watson had gone to the public library's annual fundraiser, a plant sale. Tanner, it's the end of the plant faction. It's over. They're wrapping things up.
They've been...
furloughed.
Okay, that's hurtful.
I was trying to think of a different word, but it's the perfect thing. They're done.
Castrated.
We don't need them anymore. It's over
and
for
now
them.
They're just being sold off like plant meat.
Yeah. So that's so the everything changes. That's the thing. Like the fucking war, the war of the factions has created all of these new dynamics. The fucking cat people are no longer ascendant. They're fighting with the shark people for their very lives, and the plant faction is just this being is sold off at a garage sale.
This is what Nola and Anne and whoever else writes these Friends Forever books, this is what they're going to do with the series.
Yeah.
They're going to tie up a lot of loose ends. And the faction war is coming to an end. The plant people have already been subdued.
Yeah.
And there's a new faction, but maybe they're just there to take down the cats, the shark people.
Oh, God, I hope we see more about them. Let me read you one final passage that relates to this, Tanner. "Hey, Charlie, what has four doors and is yellow?" I heard Sam say. "A lemon," Charlie said. "That joke is so old." "I don't get it," Dave and Michael said. Their voices were growing muffled as they headed toward the house. I heard Emily Michelle laugh and say, "Gemon."
Gemon.
I think she's trying to say demon.
Gemon.
Gemon.
Yeah.
That's something.
It's something that their presence has become so weak.
Yeah.
That, like, they're no longer here. They're no longer interacting with us. Logan is a non-threat. Logan and Marianne broke up.
They're done, we think.
Right? And
we didn't talk about it last week for what it's worth, but Logan and Marianne basically broke up.
They basically broke up. So the demons have left Stony Brook, and what remains of the demon faction can only be seen by the purest and youngest
souls. A pure among us, yeah.
Souls.
Wow.
That's how faint their, like, signal has become.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's incredible stuff. So we're getting a lot in this novel.
Nola really packed it in.
She packed it in.
Can I ask you a question?
I'd love that.
While we're asking one another questions?
I would love that.
It's actually a segment.
Okay.
A hit segment.
Okay.
From the most recent iteration of our podcast.
The California Diaries?
Yeah, and it's called Vibe Check. Let me get a vibe check on this.
Okay.
Our first stop was a fancy dress shop. Nothing pink or blue for you. Is this, do you think this is intended to rhyme?
I think the whole book is in rhyming hexameter. Do you not notice that?
Our first stop was the fancy dress shop. Nothing pink or blue for you.
Yeah.
Zoe said immediately to
me. The whole book is.
And you need a simple line, I think.
She's trying to mirror the Odyssey, except with rhymes.
I'll start over.
Okay.
Our first stop was a fancy dress shop.
Yeah.
Nothing pink or blue for you, Zoe said immediately to my relief. And you need a simple line, I think. A slip dress, maybe, or maybe something with more substance. Okay, I said. These were the sort of words that Claudia and Stacy, a New York fashion statement herself, sometimes tossed around at BSC meetings. I just hoped a slip dress didn't mean I would be going around in my underwear like last year's rock star.
Okay.
And who do we think Christy means by last year's rock star who was going around in her underwear?
This novel was written in 1999.
Okay, so it's Anthony Kiedis.
I think in 99, the Chili Peppers hadn't even come out with Californication yet, so I wouldn't necessarily call them last year's.
What were they doing the underwear thing, though?
Flea was in his underwear. So it could be.
Okay.
Could it be like Christina?
Oh, like dirty?
Yeah. Christina. Maybe it's Madonna. It's Madonna. Madonna is famous for dancing around in her underwear in a church in the Like a Prayer video.
No.
Could it be...
I know who it is.
Who is it?
What's my age again?
Blink 182, Tom...
99. The music video, they're running around naked.
Oh, cool. Okay, it's Blink.
It's Blink.
That's cool. Wow, cool reference.
That's a cool reference, Christy. You know, they wanted to be called Blink, but it was taken, so they changed their name to Blink 182.
Okay, that's a fun fact.
And isn't that interesting?
It is interesting. I don't want
to admit it, but it is. Well, I'm Frollo Jack. I can't fucking put this shit in posts anymore.
That'd be a great one.
I need an outlet somewhere.
Like 25 things you didn't know about your favorite pop punk bands from the 90s?
I guarantee you I wrote that post.
God. Let's see. I think we should door burns.
Okay.
I feel like nervous doing it. We just wow. This is our burn, where we say what our burn is. What was yours? This is one had some burns. Nola put some fucking burns in it. Can I say mine? Because mine, I don't want you to take mine.
Will you just ask me what mine?
Oh, fine.
Go
what?
No, no, no.
You say it. No, you say it.
You go ahead.
Okay. It's a burn on Patrick. It's when Chrissy's talking to Zoe. Then my stunned amazement began to turn to anger. If he wanted to have a family, shouldn't he at least have tried working things out with us first? What were we? The experimental model? Zoe said, well, I'm an Oakland fan myself, but I can cheer for the Giants when I have to. You want to go back out to the box seats? I nodded numbly. Christy, your father and I hope this is okay with you. I mean, I want us to be a family. Just because Patrick and I want children of our own doesn't mean that he loves you any less. I couldn't stop myself. Of course not, I said. How could he? That's a good burn on
That's
Patrick.
Good. It is.
How
good.
Could he possibly love us any less?
Right.
That's
I don't think
good.
It is possible. Yeah.
That's fucking good. A very sick good. Burn.
My burn is on Watson and Nani.
Oh, okay. That's tough. That's tough to take.
Yeah. David, Michael, Karen, and Andrew were in the backyard playing with Shannon, our Bernese Mountain Dog puppy. Watson and Nani were in full gardening gear: gloves, hats, old jeans, work shirts. Watson sometimes works at home now, which means he can make his own hours. I watched them through the kitchen window as I finished my solitary breakfast of cereal. They were staring up into the branches of a holly tree on one side of the house. It was hard to tell whether they were going to prune it or try to make it levitate.
That's good. That's very funny.
It is very funny. It was almost, I was just like, fuck, is this... It's like pretty early on. It's like chapter two. I was like,
yeah,
is this possible? Dude, what is that I smell? Is that the sweet intoxicating aroma of feet? And I was like, surely not. I'm palpitating. I've got a massive erection.
Yeah, you know what it is.
Yeah.
You've got all the fucking symptoms. Right. Explosive diarrhea lasting for over a month.
Stigmata. Yep.
Yeah, no, that's Nola, but it's a good one.
It is a good one.
They're looking at a fucking tree like they're trying to make it levitate. These fucking losers. That's very funny. I like that a lot. Is there anything else you'd like to tell me before we leave and go, Tanner?
Yeah, Jack, I have one more last question before we head out.
Okay. I'd love to hear
this.
Okay.
Did you cry?
Okay. So what we're doing is A. And when we cried, I cried in this book. I cried at a weird moment. This is a weird one.
Okay.
It's a pretty intense and difficult book in some ways. The tension between Patrick and his erstwhile family is very strong. And so there are a lot of moments where, like, I would have cried, but, like, my feeling of discomfort got in the way of that.
Yep.
But there is a moment at the wedding where that discomfort is kind of brought to a head.
It's lanced like a boil.
And it's lanced like a boil. It's a lovely metaphor.
I think
Thank
it's
you.
Also my tearful moment.
Okay. It's quite brief, but for some reason, this was the place where I like genuinely teared up. They walked down the aisle to take me out to the ball game. After that, there was a great party. We headed for the greenhouse, which looked like a fairy tale come to life. We ate and talked, and Sam made a funny toast. Then, just when I thought the toasts were over, Charlie stood up. He cleared his throat, and I felt my body grow tense. I clutched the edge of the chair under the table. I just want to say to Patrick and Zoe, best wishes. I hope you have a wonderful life together. He sat down abruptly. Patrick stood up and looked at Charlie for a long moment. Then he smiled and said softly, "Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie."
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that was mine too.
It's really powerful because Charlie is like, he's like a force of nature throughout this book. He's so angry, and he's like, to me, if I were Charlie, I would want to have the confrontation, but just the one time. But he does it like anytime there's an opportunity.
He does it every time he can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone will be completely happy,
yeah,
having a good time, and Charlie would be like, "I bet David Michael would like to be here."
Yeah.
Or some shit.
Like, Patrick will be like, they'll be like playing Pictionary, and Patrick will be like, "Oh no, I dropped my pen." And Charlie will be like, "Yeah, just like you dropped your fucking family 10 years ago."
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, okay, Charlie, we get it. Like, you have unresolved shit here.
Also, I like the timeline because of the Amber shit is so fucking thrown off. It was like 5 years ago, which is like not that fucking long ago.
I know, that's weird to think about. I think it's long if that's a third of your life.
Yeah, I guess so. That's it. That's all the notes I have.
That's it. Well, what we're going to do is we're also going to leave.
Okay.
I would like to thank you, Tanner, especially for bearing with me.
You're welcome. I would like to thank WebMD for their accurate diagnoses of having a Thack attack.
Yep. And a stigmata, it sounds like.
And stigmata, which I guess is like a symptom of celiacs.
Yeah, they're related. Everything comes back to that. You can't go wrong just avoiding bread.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's filling.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of carbs.
I would also like to thank the Baby Nation for bearing with us. I would like to implore the Baby Nation to subscribe to our Patreon. We need you over there. It's very fun. We have a whole other show. It's good. It comes out every week. We sing the descriptions. It's about the Little Sister books. We have a lot of fun. We put a lot of effort into it. And even if you don't want another show, it's a great way to support what we do here and keep us going and keep us podcasting. So check it out over at patreon.com/BSCCpodcast and subscribe. It's just $5 a month. What do you like to tell the Baby Nation?
Nothing, babies.
Okay.
Enjoy your fucking life.
That's great. I'd like to ask everyone to buy our merch. You can get
bit.ly/BSCCmerch. Yes.
T-shirts, stickers.
I should have said the thing about enjoy your life.
Yeah. It's just burning up tape, you know? Yeah. Everyone can rate and review our show over on iTunes or whatever they're calling it these days, which I think is Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts. And please don't anger them by calling it the wrong thing.
They are like pretty insistent about it. We wrote to them. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but like we wrote to them. We were like, "Hey, it's been a while since you featured our show." And they're like, "Okay, change every fucking reference to us to Apple Podcasts." And so we did. And then that was like 2 years ago. So
and they have never.
But we're still like.
They never followed through.
Please do rate and review our show. It helps us to rise in the rankings. Anything else we like to tell them? Please, for the love of God, join the Baby Nation Facebook group.
Yep.
It's
yep.
Babysitter's Club Facebook page. Find the link to the group. We don't do much with the page. We do a lot with the group. It's tons of fun. Everyone is nice in there, and we have a very good time, and we want you there, and we would like to interact with you there. Yes.
There's a new group you can join that the Baby Bees put together where if you play Animal Crossing, it's the Baby Bee Animal Crossing group, and you can come and like hang out with us.
It's wild. Yeah, Tanner's in it. I'll be in it as soon as I figure out how to play video games.
Yeah.
All that remains is for me to say that this week we read a novel that was called Babysitter's Club, Friends Forever, #1, Christie's Big News. And next week we're going to be reading a novel called Babysitter's Club, Friends Forever, #2, Stacy versus Claudia.
We've had that.
I swear to God, Anne, if you make them fight, we're done.
Well, it's Darkest Timeline. It's Darkest Timeline. So it's going to be the last one. This is it.
Oh, man. And we're standing in judgment over Anne. You got one juror. So I think as jurors on the case, the first juror has stood up and said, not guilty. We love what Anne does. We love what she did with the factions. Not guilty, right?
24 beefy hands.
24 beefy hands. And two of those beefy hands are standing up and they're saying, well, is it two? Yeah, it's two.
You're unsure of the number of hands?
Yeah, I got it. Two of those beefy hands are standing up and they're saying, you did it, Anne. You didn't do it, Anne. You're fine. you're good. We say not guilty. Next week, what I'm saying as a juror on this case is if you fucking pit my Claudia against Stacy, we're done. Anyway, the book's called Stacy versus Claudia, and it looks like that's what's going to happen.
Well, I'm not looking forward to it.
In the meantime, all that remains is for me to say that this week my name has been Jack Alexander Shepard.
And my name is Tanner Greenring.
Please do remember to round off the corners in your bedroom, drown all your dolls, call your senator and demand your right to bear time, and do not forget to let Daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaneys, remember the Trip Man, and take your dream horse through that maze. Claudia is wearing a bra now, and the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been invented. In 86, and in a high world, the first book of what became a cult. And now it's time, Babysitter's Club. Caligula means little boots.
Okay.
That's what they called him. They called him Little Boots.
Little boobs?
They used to call him Little Boots.
Because he had like small boobs?
Because he had little boots. Boots. Boots.
Oh, okay. Boots.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.